such sights to show you.
So wait, did you got full on hit by a truck like as a pedestrian?
No, or? I got T-boned.
Oh. All right, I was gonna say, I was like, damn, you're up and about for getting hit by a truck.
No, I don't think I would be here if that was the case.
Yeah. Andrew, what you're actually hearing is just a series of beeps that Alex taps and then words come out. And we pre-record a lot of different words. So she might miss a couple here and there, but overall, it's for the podcast. That's how we.
All right.
Yeah. They just take previous podcast episodes.
Yeah, exactly. We stitch it together.
Upload it into the cloud or something.
Yeah, you got a neural net machine
exactly.
learning.
Exactly. It's really.
You should see our helmet right now. It's fucking ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, huh?
I was gonna say.
There you go.
Speaking of ridiculous. You ready to get started?
Ready. Let's do it.
All right. You know it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes. And joining us once again, Mr. Andrew Parker. How the hell are you?
What? Good. I'm excited to be back. Last time was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. And for such a fucking amazingly fun movie, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, yes. I remember, after the last episode, and we, when we realized we all jived together, you were like, all right, we definitely want to have you on again. Here's our, schedule. What movie do you want to do? And I saw Army of Darkness on there, and I was like, obviously, Army of Darkness.
No brainer. So today we are talking about Army of Darkness as per the Horrible People's Podcast tradition.
Mm-hmm. And the Podcrash tradition. That's right. Both those traditions.
No, last week was the Podcrash.
Yes, that's right. That's true. That's very true.
Last week I listened to Thanksgiving for more on that. Mm-hmm. So, at last couple of years we've been going through Evil Dead every
November,
and
that's right.
So this is our third entry into that, and I'm so excited to have Andrew back for that.
Mm-hmm.
So without any further ado, let's jump right into it, shall we?
All right. A sardonic hardware store clerk is accidentally transported to 1300 AD, where he must retrieve the Necronomicon and battle an army of the dead so he can return home.
That is the movie.
God damn.
I mean, yeah, that's the movie.
Andrew's
sure.
just got to do the trailer bit for this movie. Fuck yeah.
In a world.
Oh, it was written by Ivan Raimi and Sam Raimi and directed by Sam Raimi. The incomparable Sam Raimi.
Cool.
It's starring Bruce Campbell and M. Beth Davids.
It was really,
is that it?
Is that a real name?
David.
You weren't really drunk writing this, right? And it wasn't Elizabeth Davis or something.
That was copy and pasted from IMDb. So whoever was drunk typing into IMDb, that's who it was.
All right. So the box office budget was $11 million. Hmm. The release date was October 9th, 1992. And it grossed $21.5 million.
Woo!
Actually, it's a little wrong. So the release, that's the festival release date. The actual release date was in February.
The theatrical release date.
Yeah, the theatrical's in February.
God damn it, Anthony. No one will take a serious one anymore.
See? Stop copying and pasting this David's bullshit.
Okay. So, now the Evil Dead films to this point have been a tad bit of a clusterfuck, as we've previously discussed.
Just a tad bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See our last two November episodes for the sadistic background
right.
behind Sam Raimi's psyche.
At least behind the scenes.
Yeah, sorry to butt in, but it's I wasn't here for the last two episodes that y'all did for this, but I do know a little bit about this. And yeah, clusterfuck is a nice way to put it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 100%.
It is amazing that they gave this guy $11 million.
Right? They gave him more money.
Yeah.
Well, and then if you listen back on our first episode on Evil Dead, this was bare bones. They had $0.
Mm-hmm. You're a freshman in high school. Or not high school.
College.
College, yeah.
College. High school.
High school.
Jesus Christ.
That's when they met. That's right.
But this was, of course, mostly due to their very independent origins, like I mentioned, which can go awry in a number of ways, thanks to the near completely absence of oversight.
Mm-hmm.
this time, it was going to be different. probably, because Sam Raimi went into his third Evil Dead film with something he was entirely missing with the first two. Legitimate Hollywood success.
What?
Dun, dun, dun.
He ain't know nobody no more.
This is why they gave him $11 million. So, all the way back in the 80s, Raimi and the team envisioned the second Evil Dead film to send Ash back in time all the way to the 1300s, but came across a pretty big problem filmmakers were experiencing early in their careers. They were fucking broke.
Mm. Sometimes you experience that in your 30s also, just to let you know.
Yeah. Thank you. money and legitimacy was going to be needed if they were going to get such an ambitious idea on screen. And luckily, they were just about to get that. Sam Raimi had always wanted to make a superhero movie in the same vein as The Shadow or Batman, but someone else had the right to those stories, so he created one of his own instead.
Mm-hmm.
This became Darkman, and his treatment was so good that Universal greenlit the picture and gave Sam Raimi a studio-funded superhero movie in the 90s. So naturally, you know, it made a shit ton of money.
It did, yeah, it did pretty
just
good.
Just like everything in the 90s did.
Right?
Right.
It's the good times, yeah!
So, Sam Raimi and Ivan Raimi had actually began working on a concept for the third entry of the Evil Dead series, initially titled Medieval Dead.
Love that.
Oh, that's such a better... right? That is a great name!
I like
Medieval
that.
Dead. Medieval Dead.
God damn it. Right before Darkman.
I feel like that's... Wait, hold on. I feel like that's one of those movies where it's like the title was thought of before like a real concept.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, it'd be a good name for a movie. Medieval Dead is, oh shit, dude, that's fucking right. Let's write it.
That was them stoned on the set of that first film thinking about sequel ideas. Like, that's 100%
yes.
It right there.
Mm-hmm. And then they're yeah, we'll figure out the plot later, but for now, let's just consider Medieval Dead, shall we? So yeah, this was right before Darkman was made, and they got right back to work on it after Darkman became a success. And of course, they had the backing of a hungry producer with a four-picture Universal deal.
Mm-hmm.
This hungry producer was the lasagna-loving Dino De Laurentiis, who had shepherded the series to success so far and was cursed with an unending desire for more money. Sounds like a Hollywood producer.
That sounds like a producer problem.
Sam and Ivan finally had a draft that they could work with, incorporating more humor and getting Ash the hell out of the cabin as soon as humanly possible. The only problem is that they needed more money.
Mm-hmm.
Their imaginations got the better of them, and The Medieval Dead was a far bigger scale film than any of the other previous films in the series.
Mm-hmm. That's putting it lightly.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The first two films, one set, a cabin, in the woods, that's it. This one.
Yeah, they were practically just a Blumhouse movie.
Right. So, Universal was also not too keen on the title, fuckers, asking Raimi to change it.
Yeah.
Can you... What executive at Universal was just like, okay, listen, we love the concept, but Medieval Dead is a little childish, don't you think?
We don't want people to know this is actually the Evil Dead movie. I am sorry, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway... so the director wanted to honor the old Hollywood tradition of putting stars' names in the front of the film, so he suggested Bruce Campbell versus Army of Darkness, and Universal wasn't a fan of that either. Which also would have just been funny.
But I mean, they did manage to keep the title card.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
They at least got to do that.
So Army of Darkness was eventually agreed upon, and the team was ready to shoot.
Oh, and was it a shoot? Andrew, let us know about this groovy behind-the-scenes madness that we're about to experience right now.
Well, initially Universal and Laurentiis gave the Raimi brothers $8 million to work with, more than any of the past films in the franchise. By a lot!
By a lot. Yeah.
By a lot!
More than them combined.
This one, yeah, I think so, right? This one, however, had a skeleton army, so even $8 million was not enough.
Oh, no,
with the taste of Darkman's success and lasagna fresh in everyone's minds, the budget was increased to $12 million, with shooting scheduled to take place during the midsummer of 1991 in the Mojave Desert. Mm. The Mojave motherfucking desert, because that's a place you want to work.
Right. As I was watching this, I was like, that is a desert, and I don't want to be there.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. Well, the crew built a giant castle in said desert and required many, 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 many extras for town scenes and battle scenes between armies. Many of those extras had no experience in acting, often frustrating Bruce Campbell, who witnessed one of them quit in the middle of the shoot.
Oh.
Now, some people just aren't cut out for set life. That just happens.
No, I specifically remember the story Bruce Campbell talking about it, and he was just like, I asked the guy, he's like, hey, man, like, don't you, you're swinging a sword. Maybe move it. Like, he just gave him, like, a little bit of advice.
Yeah.
And the guy was just like, you know what? Fuck this. And just bounced.
You.
He just bounced.
He was like, nah.
No, yeah, you could tell they were hurting for cast, because I swear I saw Ted Raimi in, like, multiple roles.
Oh,
in
oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
I rewatched it this morning, and, like, I remember Ted Raimi's in, like, the final scene of the movie. But, like, there was, like, one part where, like, you know, Ash is given a rousing speech, and there's, like, a dude who looks suspiciously like Ted Raimi in a fake beard there. And he's, like, one of the guys is like, yeah! You have my sword and my axe.
And my bow.
Just had a fucking Groucho mask.
Yeah, right?
Yes. No, it was like a comically fake beard. But oh. Yeah. So the daytime scenes were incredibly hot, especially as actors often had to wear full armor throughout the film, which must have been a nightmare.
Look badass though.
Actors would lose weight by the end of a day's shoot due to all the sweating, even one claiming to have lost 5 pounds in a full day's shoot.
Mm.
Which is, yeah, that's how you make weight when you're a fighter, you know? You got to sweat it out. You got to put trash bags on you and go sit in a sauna. Or film a movie in the desert.
What
or be
smelly...
an extra in a Sam Raimi film.
What yes. a smelly
exactly.
set.
Oh, man.
Ugh.
Now, night scenes had the opposite problem. It was cold as hell, and even the armor couldn't keep the actors warm enough between takes.
Of course not. It's metal.
Hot metal turned to cold, icy metal right throughout a day. Oof.
They had, like, that sweet spot, like, as the sun was mm-hmm. going down, but it wasn't, like, super cold yet, and they were like, the sweet relief of the sun going down right before they started freezing their asses
Rainy's
off.
Like, no golden hour shots. Everybody take a break.
It's
yeah,
true.
Right?
It's either the middle of the day or the dead,
or dead
of night.
Night. Yeah.
There is no in-between.
Yeah, well, that's the worst time to have to shoot. That's mm-hmm. the worst time to have to shoot because you have the smallest window.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so shooting was so grueling and physically demanding that actress Embeth Devitz contemplated quitting the industry for good.
Oh, yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, she pulled kind of a, almost pulled the Shelley Duvall there.
Oh, no. We'll talk about that one soon.
I was thinking, well, okay, never mind. Not Shelley Duvall, but, Mr. Sean Connery after League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh,
he was like,
geez.
I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you were just pushing
now,
for that
by
one.
This point...
Oh, I'm going to push for that until we do it.
Now, by this point, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell had been working together for years. So Raimi very obviously knew that he could beat the hell out of Bruce on set.
Physically beating him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one crew member stated that Raimi claimed he could get Bruce to do anything on camera, and gleefully made the actor get hit in the face over and over and over and over until Bruce finally protested, saying, "We got the shot!"
To hear them say it, it was like Raimi was just like, look what I can do. And then the people he was talking to were observing, and Cam was just taking it. He was just like, oh, fuck, another one, fuck!
Dude, he is a team player.
Oh,
I just think back to, like, the other movies where he would just, like, jump into, like, you know, like, furniture and mm-hmm. shelves in the wall. And that one shot where he's smashing plates on his face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He will do what needs to be done. But apparently, Sam, the fucking sadist over here, was like, hey, you want to see something funny?
Oh, there's more.
There's more. Yeah, that's fucked up. It's like, yeah, it's one thing to, like, to ask things like that for your actors, but when you're just, like, taking gleeful delight in their pain.
Doing it for your fucking amusement.
He's, like, turning around and cackling towards the other people. He's like, okay, but direct face. Turns back around. Bruce, one more time.
One more time, buddy.
He's like, we're not even rolling.
There is no film in this camera.
Oh, I guess we gotta do it all over again.
Yep. It's like, Bruce Campbell also learned to ride a horse for this film. Sort of. He wasn't trained very well, or very long, but luckily Ash had a long cape and concealed most of his incompetence as a rider. He learned how to ride a horse properly on his next film, and found his riding on Army of Darkness to be hilarious in retrospect.
Oh, yeah.
They really just, like, threw him on a horse and
they just
like,
horse.
Figure
yeah.
it out.
Well, what it was is when he was riding away, he kept bumping on his ass, kept hitting the saddle. He was, like, galloping hard. Yeah. And then when he learned how to ride a horse for reals, he's like, oh, that you're not supposed to do that?
This poor guy, he, like, had, like, they rapped on shooting. He has, like, bruises on his ass. Like.
He said, the punches in the face and the cuts are pretty bad, but I can tell you what, the ass chapping's the worst part.
And the stop motion for the fighting scenes was also difficult for Bruce, and that was on purpose. Another example of how Sam Raimi is a bastard sadist.
Truly.
Ash would often have to fight deadites that were added in post-production. So during filming, he would have to learn complex choreography, fighting enemies that were not actually even present on set.
Ah, the ye olde CGI treatment back in 1992. Oh,
yeah. Stop motion CGI. Ooh, the worst combo.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans style.
Yeah.
Now, the crew developed a number system that would help Bruce do the correct choreography during his fighting scenes, one which was developed with only one note from Sam Raimi. Make him go through torture.
God, Sam. Jesus Christ.
Now, I imagine him, like, tenting his fingers, like, as he says this.
Make him go through torture. I love it.
That's funny.
The elaborate shooting style of the battles made the numbering system so complicated that the team could hear Bruce Campbell cursing and swearing during filming.
I'm also watching it, because this is all part of a big documentary that's on YouTube. Like, they go deep into it. I episode would be way longer if I included all of that. But the funny thing is, like, Sam Raimi was also kind of like, listen, cinematographers, get as elaborate with, like, your shots as you want to get, because we're going to figure this shit out. And the one that broke him was when he's fighting Evil Ash on the stairs.
Uh-huh.
They tried all day to get that in one shot. Like, one shot. And it was like... Sam Raimi fucked himself because the numbering system was so complicated and Bruce was so exhausted, they couldn't get it done. But Raimi still, he, like, stopped the production. He's like... He got on the microphone. He's like, all right, guys, because Bruce can't handle it, we're going to cut this scene up into a million pieces. And Bruce was so sad. He's a crazy man.
Oh, no.
Sam Raimi, you crazy bastard.
Yes.
Also, like, poor Bruce Campbell. Holy shit. I can just imagine, like, everyone else, like, on the outside, like, behind the camera who can't see this fight going on and just hearing Bruce Campbell, like, swearing like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And they're just like, ah, normal day on set. The usual. I just feel so bad.
Yeah, I imagine that's gotta exhaust you, doing, like, a one-sided sword fight. Like, I assume they didn't even have a stand-in or anything.
He's just
having to sword fight with the air, you know?
Yeah, they would. For some of it, they would. But I think at that point, Evil Ash ended up being played by Bruce Campbell's stunt double anyways, so he couldn't use him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so any Evil Ash fight, it was just like, well, you look enough, you have the same body type, so you guys are going to fight each other. Like, oh, great.
Great.
Now, at one point during a battle scene, Bruce Campbell received a huge gash on his face, resulting in a trip to the emergency room. It took a long time for the doctor to even find the injury, thanks to the extensive special effects makeup and Campbell just generally being beat to shit.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor had to pull him aside after and just be like, are you okay?
Are you a hostage?
This is a safe place.
See, but they're in the middle of the Mojave Desert. The guy's just like, yeah, it's fine. You can't get bit by a snake or anything. You're good.
The doctor's, like, on vacation. He's wearing, like, a floral shirt. Like, on vacation.
He's like, listen, I'm a desert doctor and I'm a Hollywood doctor, so I don't give a fuck. I'm going to stitch you. You're done.
Now, after 100 days of shooting, the team had finally wrapped up and shot the movie that they wanted to shoot. Dino De Laurentiis let Raimi have full creative control. But that was only while filming. Universal would take over post-production on Raimi's second sequel, and they didn't like what they were seeing.
Bitches.
I was going to say, bastards!
Well, you know, it's Hollywood, and Raimi's not 100% used to it yet, so let's see how they fucked them a little bit. So, the big takeaway from
Hollywood
this,
fucked someone!
Oh my god, I know.
I don't believe it.
I doubt it.
That industry of saints? Saints.
No. I don't believe it.
Anyways, Universal fucking hated the ending of Army of Darkness. They hated it. Originally, Ash was actually to take too much potion and awaken in a post-apocalyptic London, leading, of course, to a potential sequel. Let's just say Universal wasn't ready to commit to that and thought the ending overall just was just too much of a downer. So
yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot because like if the movie does well enough and they have to make like a sequel, mm-hmm. then they have to commit to fucking post-apocalyptic London.
And they thought an $11 million budget was a lot.
Right? They're like, we're barely getting this one done. Fuck that. No.
That reminds me of the end of Ash vs. Evil Dead, where like, you know, they show what happens at the end of that show, and it's just like, oh man, like we're definitely not getting another season, I guess.
Oh, that show was... We'll have to talk about that show at some point, too, because that shit was... Whew. Alex, you've only seen the first couple episodes, huh?
I've only seen, like the first half of the first season.
Oh, man.
It's so good.
I know. I keep hearing great things. I mean, I'm not... Yeah, I just, you know, I'm watching a lot right now.
No, I feel you. It's quarantine. I get it.
But I'm still working.
Yeah, right? See? I work from home, so I got to watch anything.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
But the studio, they demanded something a little more upbeat, obviously. So a whole new ending was shot involving Ash returning to his normal time and killing a Deadite at the S-Mart. Which I still kind of enjoyed this ending, actually. It wasn't that
bad. I thought it was kind of... I mean, I thought it was... Because no one...
It's pretty on brand.
Yeah, it's on brand. Yeah. But no one clearly believes him at S-Mart. Oh, yeah. Like, they're just like, you went back in time.
Mm-hmm.
You dumb.
Sure, that's how you lost your hand, you fucking idiot. Anyway, so on this, actually, Raimi was unopposed to the idea, stating that, quote-unquote, I kind of like the fact that there are two endings that, in one alternative universe... Bruce is screwed, and in the other universe, he's some cheesy hero.
Of course he would like that.
Yeah. Raimi's like, what? We had to make him do a bunch of other bullshit, too? That's fine. Give me the money. But what Raimi did not like was the studio having the final cut of his third Evil Dead film. Something he actually was not really used to for this particular series. This was his baby, after all. So in order to pay for actual post-production work and finish the film, the team realized they needed an additional $3 million, and Universal was just not having it. And this was actually due to producer Dino De Laurentiis. See, the problem with our good old lasagna-loving Laurentiis was that he had the rights to the Hannibal Lecter character, and of course Universal... they wanted those rights so they could film a sequel to Silence of the Lambs, which, if you listen to our episode, was kind of a big fucking deal in the 90s.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal.
Oh, man, and that sequel was so good!
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Hannibal, man. So good. But, go on.
But, of course, they used Army of Darkness' production woes as leverage and held the film in limbo for a full year. Before it even could be finished.
What the fuck?
Welcome to
that
Hollywood.
That fucking sucks.
Oh my god.
So bad. That sucks so bad.
Seriously?
Actually,
yeah.
Something similar happened to me with a Crypta back in the day. One of the producers we worked with it on early in the process, he like animated a demo for us. Mm-hmm. And he animated it almost all the way to being done. And then he held it hostage and wouldn't finish it until we, like, developed an idea for him.
Oh,
and,
no.
And, like, we fully did it, and then he finished the demo for us. That's brutal.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But everyone told me Hollywood's full of saints. This is... No. I don't buy it. You guys agree. No, buy it. Jesus fucking
A. Oh, my gosh.
But either way, you know, the movie was, of course, moved from its summer 1992 release date to the spring of 1993. And, of course, Universal wanted it to be a PG-13 movie.
I hate it.
Oh, you fucking guys.
Bad.
Yeah. So, Raimi's original cut came in at a whopping 96 minutes, with, of course, its downer ending. But to appease Universal, he made some cuts to bring it down to 87 minutes and use their upbeat whatever instead, you know. But, of course, the MPAA...
Our friends.
They fucking,
just kidding.
They fucking hate Raimi to his core because of how the Evil Dead... You know, Video Nasty, all the shit we went through. Like, they fucking hated him. So, of course...
They saw his name and they were just like, instantly.
Yeah, instantly. So they used any excuse they could, and they slapped him with an NC-17 rating right out the fucking gate, mostly due to
try
the
selling event. This asshole.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said to him in the notes. Confirmed. Anyway, so the team came up with a compromise. Universal would take the reins with the first theatrical cut, bringing it down to 81 minutes and changing the pace drastically. Now, this was the original theatrical cut. Raimi's R-rated version would be released later at 87 minutes, and Dino De Laurentiis would get to release his own 88-minute version, which was closer to Raimi's first cut, but it would include the upbeat ending from the studio, of course. So, confusing a little bit, because even then after this, there's a million other cuts.
I was going to say, there's like,
there are.
You just blew through like 7 different cuts of the
there's
movie.
There's even more. There's lots. There's fan cut, there's the Ultimate Raimi cut, there's all kinds of bullshit. But
yeah, there's like the Screwhead cut. Mm-hmm. I remember like, you know, like in the olden days when you had to go get movies on DVD and shit, there was like 5 different Evil Dead like DVD sets you could get, where it's like, oh, the Screwhead edition, the director's cut,
the
you
TV
know, all
cut.
Of them.
TV cut had its own version too. Yeah. Mm. With scenes missing and matching, everything. Pace was different. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
But as it turns out, the 81-minute cut got an R rating anyways. So they just scrapped Raimi's version altogether, leaving it in, as Andrew pointed out, in DVD limbo many years later. So, of course, as confusing and annoying as it was for the young filmmaker, who was obviously used to getting his way, at least he got Danny Elfman to compose the March of the Dead theme for Army of Darkness, which is badass. I fucking love that
Solid
theme.
Get. Solid get.
Mm-hmm. Truly. But, yeah. So, critics, our favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Finally got a chance to review Army of Darkness in February of 1993, and they were mostly pretty happy with it, although it wasn't nearly as highly praised as The Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm.
Our boy, Roger Ebert, gave the film 2 out of 4 stars, stating that it felt recycled in comparison to the first 2 films, but concluded his review with, quote, "The movie seems aimed at an audience of 14-year-olds who would have been 8 when Evil Dead 2 came out, so maybe this was all seems breathtakingly original," end quote. Jesus.
He's a scathing
motherfucker. That is harsh. That is harsh.
Owen Gleiberman of Entertainment Weekly gave the film a C+, spending most of the time talking about how much better the recently released Dead Alive was, and stating, quote, "By the time Army of Darkness turns into a retread of Jason and the Argonauts, featuring an army of fighting skeletons, the film has fallen into a ditch between parody and spectacle," unquote. Good lord.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? A ditch between parody and spectacle? That's the sweet spot.
Right?
I would say that is exactly where this movie is, and I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Wiseau sees that review. He's like, brilliant!
Also, like, we can't compare this movie to Dead Alive. Like, you know, like, completely different.
But it's the 90s, Alex. They'll compare anything they fucking want.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the reviews from the press at the time were very similar. Good, but not great. But how did audiences react? Well, okay. Exactly the same.
Yeah, the same shit way. Yeah.
Exactly. So, Army of Darkness was released on February 19th, 1993, to a $4.4 million opening weekend, which was not great. By the time it concluded its run, however, Universal's 81-minute cut barely made its budget back, coming in at $11.5 million. That is rough. And Laurentis's 88-minute international cut picked up some of the slack, bringing it to a $21.5 million total and a collective from everyone involved.
Oh, poor Raimi.
Which sucks. That hurts. That hurts to read.
It's the opposite, because if you listen to our last 2 episodes on this series, it was always like, all the bullshit happened, and guess what? Everybody fucking loved it. And this time it was like, all right, Raimi, you did the Dark Man. Just do something. You're fine. You're fine, buddy.
So, obviously, this was not exactly the result that Raimi was looking for, and it appeared that his time in the horror genre was at its end. At least for a little bit. He is Sam Raimi after
Sam
all.
Raimi, yeah.
But before we get to that, we have to see what the fans thought of this one. It didn't release to much fanfare, but it has become a staple of the franchise, and there's not much better insight to this than there is in when it comes to Letterboxd reviews. So, Army of Darkness has a 3.7 rating out of 6,500 reviews. I kind of thought it would have
a little more.
That's fine.
Still a good rating. Yeah.
So Alex H. gives this film 5 stars, stating, "Name a better trilogy. I'll wait." Finn Herbert gives Army of Darkness 3.5 stars out of 5, stating, quote, "While Army of Darkness has a drastically different tone compared to its predecessors and drops almost all horror elements in favor of action and comedy, it is so much more enjoyable and way groovier," unquote.
I fully agree with this thought on it. It's my favorite of the series.
Mine too, actually.
It is. I still prefer the second one, but I will say I will say it's up there for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get into this into discussion. Oh, yeah. But yeah, Nicholas Carrillo gives the film 4 stars, describing it as quote Monty Python and the Holy Necronomicon.
Okay, I like that description a lot. That's good.
That is intelligent. That is a good take.
I thought that as well. That's really funny. Okay, Wraith Ape gives the film a low 2.5 stars, stating, quote, given that I'm the one freak who doesn't worship the Evil Dead like a cultist at the Mythos altar at Open Gate Day, I guess this third installment was never likely to win me over, unquote. Okay, but don't be such a pick me about it.
Like, yeah, no. He's like, everyone give me attention, I don't like the things you like.
Like, okay, we get it.
Alright, you probably write an account with the same fucking name much.
Well, also, I'm just like, okay, whatever. Okay, so finally, Katie gives the film 5 stars with some solid reasoning. Quote, giving this movie less than 5 stars would be a crime against humanity, unquote.
Katie,
correct. Army of Darkness proved to be a transitional movie in Raimi's career. He was able to work with big special effects pieces, combine his horror and slapstick inclinations into a feature-length film, and navigated his way through studio bullshit, which is difficult.
He grew as a filmmaker, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It wasn't the best reviewed and didn't make a whole lot of money, but it allowed Raimi to cap off his time in horror for at least a little while and move on to something different. The director would move on to more mainstream work with his next 3 projects. The Quick and the Dead, A Simple Plan, and For the Love of the Game.
Very different movies.
None of those movies, I don't think I've seen any of them. I might have seen Quick and the Dead. That was a Western, right?
Yeah, that was a Western. I haven't seen A Simple Plan, and I know For the Love of the Game I used to watch because my dad liked it.
For the Love of the Game sounds like a baseball movie.
I can't remember. Actually, I think it was a basketball movie.
Oh, okay, it sounds like a sports movie.
Yeah, I think it was basketball.
Yeah,
basketball. I want to say it was basketball.
Mm-hmm. Which de facto, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Well, doing these movies allowed him to try something different and enhance his directorial skills with different genres. When combined with his special effects heavy history, he became a lock for what would be the biggest film in his career and one of the biggest in Hollywood. 2002's Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Woo, did that start a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Did that start a thing?
Yes.
I thought they were great, personally. And it's funny, you could tell by, like, the third one, like, Raimi was like, all right, we're going cheese with
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting cheesy, brother.
I feel like 2 was the apex of Raimi. Like, I'm using my humor, I'm using my shot selection. Like, he was, like, prime. And then 3, he was just like, I have all the freedom I want. I'm going to go fucking crazy.
I've never seen Spider-Man 3 to this day.
What?
Well, that's just because, like, it was so, like, widely, like, it was so mixed reviews. And then everyone, well, also, at the time that it came out, I was at, like, a very particular, like...
No, Hollywood, be.
Yeah, I was a little bitch. I was just like, no, I'm not going to watch this. This looks like dog shit.
I think you should watch the first 2 again, get the feeling for it, and then get blown away by how crazy off the rails the third one.
I should, because I haven't actually rewatched these in a very, very long time. But 2002 Spider-Man is actually probably not one of the first movies I saw in theaters, but, like, definitely one of the first ones I remember seeing in theaters.
Spider-Man 2 was, like...
Oh, I thoroughly remember seeing the first Spider-Man in theaters, because it was, that was the very first free comic book day, too. Ooh. And I remember going with my buddy to the comic shop right next to the movie theater, and then going and seeing Spider-Man and be like, that was fucking awesome!
Did you see those special effects, man? How are they ever gonna get better than that?
And I remember being like, dude, Bruce Campbell was in it! Which leads right into what we're saying. Bruce Campbell would continue to be his good luck charm and be featured in all of his upcoming projects in a cameo role at the very least. Campbell would also be a staple on television in the 90s and 2000s, appearing on programs like Xena Warrior Princess, Hercules, The X-Files, Ellen, and even Charmed. He was also able to take on any weird roles he felt like for film based on his reputation alone, one of which was Sky High from the early 2000s.
That's okay. For you, Alex. That's for you.
Thank you. I love you for this. But, like, okay, so I don't know if Sky High, if either of you, because, like, you were significantly older than me. So it totally
missed
probably went over your head.
Missed the boat.
Sky High was my shit. And, like, that actually was my first, like, exposure to Bruce Campbell.
Oh, that's funny.
He plays a gym teacher whose, like, whole thing is, like, he has supersonic, like, yelling.
He would.
That's his whole shtick.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the point is, Sky High was, like, this, like, quintessential, like, dorky, like, Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Funny. It was, and, yeah. No, it, like, oh, man. Anyway, so, I...
fans, if you want something as a come down, say you're watching like a Lars von Trier or Razorhead or something,
totally.
Watch Sky High.
Totally. Especially if you're like that late millennial, like the cusp, like my age range, like you've definitely seen Sky High and you were definitely in love with War and Peace. That's a character's name. Warren Peace.
Oh my
that
god.
That is
that's
his name.
Hilarious. Wait, what's Sky High streaming on? I gotta say. Sky High. Hold on, we're gonna do this. Streaming.
Oh, Jesus. Where is it streaming, Anthony?
It's streaming on...
Nothing.
Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
So, watch The House That Jack Built, because that's also on Hulu,
and then
finish it up with Sky High. There you go.
Yeah, it's a palate cleanser.
I was
yes.
going to say, it's a fantastic palate cleanser. It's so dorky, and then, yeah, it's awesome. Anyway.
I love Bruce Campbell, because he does not care. He does not care. If he likes a script or something, he'll just do it.
That's what's badass about him.
And that's actually what I was going to talk about when it even came to something like, you know, dorky things like Sky High. Like, he literally, no fucks given. If he sees something and he's like, this seems like fun, he'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
Another very weird Bruce Campbell movie that I cannot recommend enough is Man with the Screaming Brain.
What?
Was actually...
Is that...
Have you guys ever seen that?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. It was a Raimi Campbell... another collab by them. And actually, Bruce Campbell directed it. And it's great. I forget, like, the finer points of it, but, like, Ted Raimi's a big, big part in the movie. And it's basically a dude gets, like, a brain transplant from, they've both been killed by, like, the same woman. And they're trying to get revenge for being killed by, like, this woman. It's zany as hell. It is so weird, but it's fucking hilarious.
Oh, wow.
See, now I'm going through Bruce Campbell's, like, discography, but you guys know what I mean. But
filmography.
Thank you. But, yeah, that's, I'm trying to find it, but that sounds...
That's from 2005.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you. But, no, that sounds really...
I gotta try it, yeah.
Really great.
I'm into that.
But, anyway, we digress.
Yeah, we've gotten off into the weeds a little bit. So, back to The Evil Dead. Where was the franchise set to go, considering how things left off? Raimi and Campbell wanted to either remake the film or do a full-on sequel. Thanks to the ambitions of a young Uruguayan filmmaker, they managed to do both. And quite well, I might add.
Oh, I agree.
The ambitious Fede Alvarez... Is that how you say his first name?
I think it's Fede.
Yeah.
The ambitious Fede Alvarez would do the unthinkable and hugely unpopular task of developing a remake of The Evil Dead. And boy, was it... unpopular.
Oh,
not
yeah.
before the movie came out, because people were like, some people get pretty like uppity about like their favorite things being touched.
Oh,
and like Evil Dead
yeah.
fans are very 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 protective.
Are you sure
their,
you want to finish that sentence?
No, I remember the Reddit leading up to it was like pissed off. They're like, how could you even, you can't match the brilliance of Sam Raimi. Like that was the
threat. Campbell's not going to be in it. What the fuck?
Yep.
Yeah, they were not happy.
Mm-mm.
But regardless of how the fans felt, it ended up being so well thought out that Raimi and Campbell attached themselves to the project, got it off the ground, and even managed to link it to the original series after a 20-year hiatus. And that wasn't all, because that little taste of success and huge fan reaction led to the one thing everyone knew was inevitable. Ash was coming back.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get to that when we cover 2013's Evil Dead remake, probably sometime next year. And of course, there's always Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Mm.
And I definitely want to be on the Ash vs. Evil Dead episode.
Same. Yeah. Yeah.
I fucking loved that.
Okay.
Oh my God, that show was so good. And like, my girlfriend loved it. She's not even like, I mean, I've kind of tempered her into horror now. But like, when I got her to watch Ash vs. Evil Dead, she wasn't a horror girl or a gore girl. You know,
yeah.
But she loved it. She loved that. She loved that series.
Oh,
we couldn't
awesome.
Wait for it to come out.
Oh,
know?
That's so cool,
dude. My brother
yeah.
was the same way. He did not watch any of the Evil Dead movies. My brother PJ, he
uh-huh.
was just like, I think we mentioned it on one of the
yeah.
earlier episodes, and he was like, ah, it's on Netflix. I'll slap it on. He finished it faster than I fucking did. I was like, damn. He was just like, holy shit, that was awesome.
Well, I think it's because it's so funny, right?
It's
like,
funny
because it has
oh.
it's great.
It has mm-hmm. such like so much comedic, like, you know.
It looks good.
Yeah.
Like, the special effects are on fucking point, and each season's good. Like, it doesn't let up at
yeah.
all. Like, it's a really good series.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, let's dissect the fan favorite film that almost killed the whole damn franchise.
Yay!
Let's do it. So, what are your guys' thoughts? I think we already tempered this a little bit, but on Army of Darkness. Andrew, kick us off, buddy. You're the guest.
I think it is the best movie in the trilogy. it is so much fun. It is so much fun. It looks great. It's fucking very funny. You got a lot of gore. You've got a great amount of humor. You've got some just, like, great moments of, like, cinema. Like, the part where he's in the pit and the wise old man is like, "Chosen one, your weapon."
Yes.
And he throws the fucking chainsaw in, and Ash just jumps in the air with his stump like raised.
Like, and he just perfectly locks into it.
I remember the first time I saw that movie, I like died laughing at that when the chainsaw just like perfectly latches onto his hand.
And when he
When he does it again,
first episode of Ash vs. Evil Dead 2, I was like, waiting for it, and then they lead you on until like the last possible moment, and he fucking does it, and he's just like groovy. I'm like, yeah,
that's another thing too. Is the one-liners in this movie are great?
Ooh, great. Oh.
They're so cheesy, but like Campbell's delivery of them is just like iconic.
I think it's his delivery that really makes it for this. Like, if it was anyone else like trying to say it, I would have been like, ugh, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like him doing it, I was just like, you're so fucking badass.
Yeah, well, it's his ability to pull off like the Leslie Nielsen, where like you're saying something incredibly cheesy and ridiculous, but you play it so straight that it is awesome.
Totally.
You know?
Oh yeah, 100%. I agree.
So, I mean, we kind of talked about this, but let's set the stage, shall we? Mm-hmm. So, the first time I saw this movie was at Camp Frida last year. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. So, my first interaction with this movie was pretty recent.
In theaters, though.
In theaters. Yeah. I got to see it in theaters.
Oh, nice.
So, for those of you who don't know, Camp Frida is an event put on by the Frida Cinema. We talk about them all the time. We love the Frida Cinema, mm-hmm. and we love independent theaters. But every Halloween, they do a 12-hour, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. horror movie marathon. And they did Army of Darkness, like, second to last. It was mm-hmm. right before Halloween 3 Season of the Witch when I went to go see it.
Two back-to-back interesting ones.
Great, but they did that on purpose mm-hmm. because at that point it was like 5 a.m.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I was fucking exhausted, and I don't pull all-nighters, or at least I haven't since college, so I was just like, I'm so tired. And it kept me awake. Like, mm-hmm. I was immediately like, I was like, this is fucking hilarious. And thankfully, I had seen the first two beforehand, so I wasn't mm-hmm. missing anything. And not that you're really missing anything, because
it's kind of its own beast.
Right.
They remake the first film in the first, like, 2 minutes.
Right, and they spend, like, the first, like, you know, half of Evil Dead 2, like, you know, like, it's pretty easy to, you know, get the gist of what's going on, especially in this one, because mm-hmm. they do give you a really nice synopsis. So that was my first time watching it, and I was just, like, completely blown away. Fucking loved it. And when we were, you know, figured out we were covering it, you know, now, I was so excited to revisit it. Mm-hmm. And it holds up. Like, I wasn't just sleep deprived the whole time.
Yeah.
I wasn't just sleep deprived of it. Like, watching it again, I was just like, this is so fucking fun. But yeah, this is also my favorite of the original.
Of
like,
the trilogy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, no, I personally, so the first time I actually watched, I watched a little later. I ended up watching it because Ash vs. Evil Dead was coming out, and I liked the first two a lot. So I was like, I never seen Army of Darkness. And it turns out they were playing it leading up. So I could actually watch the new episode of Ash vs. Evil Dead, which is the first one, and then Army of Darkness right before. So I was like, it's a Bruce Campbell night. And
nice.
I fucking loved it. Like, it was still, I still like 2 more, just because I think 2 is, like, fucking amazing. Like, mm-hmm. And it released on my birthday.
Great, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, my actual birthday. But also, I realized something, too, with this one, is the style was obviously a lot more comical than the first two, which I think needed to be that different. Because if it was retreading too closely to the original, I think, you know, it kind of be a mix and a shuffle. But them all three being very distinct films
mm-hmm.
really helps the series out. And there isn't quite another movie that looks or feels like Army of Darkness. It's
right.
on its own. Like, you don't have a lot of skeleton armies that also are just like, oh my god, we're dead, let's get out of here. Like, shit like that. Like, it's like that framey special effects combo is really hard to do, like, this raw.
It's very unique, and I think, and that really just always, like, for, especially for Evil Dead, like, I always just, I'm just like, oh, it's so good, like, it's so distinctive,
which
I love
it. Which is why I'm very impressed that Ash vs. the Evil Dead really did pull all the best elements from the first three, and, like, made a series out of it, made, like, a perfect series out of it. So,
I
haven't
seen the remake either, the 2013 one.
I've seen it, like, once or twice. Yeah, I enjoyed it back in the day. I remember really liking it. It came out when
I enjoyed it. I think I saw it, like, once. I need to rewatch it to see how they exactly brought it in with, like, the other movies. Because I saw it, I thought it was just, like, a remake. But I'll have to delve again.
I'll have to reinvestigate. I will also say, like, the title of it doesn't do the movie any favors, I don't think. Because you have Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness. Like, having it, like, the title doesn't really do it any favors in terms of, like, name recognition.
No.
Like, I was talking to someone who wasn't, like, super into horror and, like, wasn't very, like, and I'm like, oh, I'm covering, you know, Army of Darkness. Like, it's the third Evil Dead movie. And they're like, oh, I had no idea. And I was just like...
Well, that's actually, I believe I was reading something where the reason why I didn't get so many Evil Dead fans actually watching it is
because
people didn't know. People really didn't know in the 90s. They were like, oh, okay, this is some... Bruce Campbell's doing the Bruce Campbell thing. And they're like... No, this is actually an Evil Dead movie. But, yeah, unless
you're
hardcore.
Good job, Universal.
Yeah.
And no, Universal fucked that up.
You could have had the Medieval
Dead. Medieval Dead. That is a great name. It's like, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, Medieval Dead. And then Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Like, come on. Like,
fucking love
it,
yeah.
It gets all that slapstick, dorky, like, title, like, you know, naming conventions out of the way. If it's not just something stupid, like, 1, 2, 3, you know, like.
But, I mean, on the subject of Ash here, so what do you guys think of his clearly more slapstick persona in the film, even compared to the last two? Do you think that this direction for the character should have taken the lead into later projects, or how do you feel about this take on Ash?
I think this is...
I do...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was like, I like Ash. This is my favorite version of Ash, because he's kind of a silly guy. You know, he's like a coward. He's, you know, he's just this handsome, like... like, jacked looking, like, strong man, but he's also, like, a coward. So he's, like, he's kind of silly. And, you know, I like him very much, like, in this role of, like, the reluctant hero, you know?
Yeah.
He's very out for himself, but in a way that's charmingly Bruce Campbell.
Right. Yeah. And then everyone collectively shames him into being a hero, and he's like, fuck,
But he's, like, good at it. Yeah. He puts his body on the line, he's like, oh, you want all the fucking it? Like, he's like that.
I will say this is probably because of the humor makes it the more quotable of all the Evil Dead movies.
Yes.
Like, me and my dad still go around and being like, this is my boomstick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the time.
Ashley Williams, Hardware. like shit like that. I mean, personally, I think it might also be my favorite take because as much as I love the Ash vs. the Evil Dead take, that show also relies heavily on a very good supporting cast.
Right.
So this one is like Ash, the Ash show. This is like him 100% in his prime being this character. He's not that young, like, wide-eyed anymore. And in Evil Dead 2, you know, it was still horror-ish, so, like, it was good. But, like, this, he's confident, he's got the frickin' chainsaw hand, and it's great. Like, I personally, and the physicality of Bruce Campbell in this role, too. Again, he's the most, like, in the later series when they reference back on this stuff, this is the Ash, I think, when they're talking about it. So, yeah, personally, the perfect direction to go in to make the series feel fresh later on down the line, which it totally does.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you guys feel about the special effects, though? Considering, of course, the tone of the movie.
Surprisingly, 1992 did not, like, for the amount of CGI in this movie, it's not, like, super, super aged.
No. I think it lends its own kind of look to it.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. Like, yeah.
I think it went really well, and it's, like, a lot of it was very slapstick. Like the skeleton, you know, when he, like, punches the skeleton in the face and just spins and spins. Yeah, it's, I think it fits perfectly in with the tone of the movie.
And, you know my gripe with, like, the later, or the earlier you go with with CGI, how it just ages the movie, like, tremendously, and how, like, I'm such, like, a proponent for...
Yeah, for practical
for effects. This is, like, a, I would say a good mix of the two. Like, I would say that there's, like, enough that, like, you're like, okay, like, obviously, so some of these things, like, we're not, we're done, you know, but with, like, stop motion or whatever. Which is fine. But, like, the scene where Bruce Campbell, like, his face, when he gets, like, when he pulls himself out of that hell dimension.
Oh, my God.
Yes, his face is elongated.
Looking like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that's all practical.
That's a little uncanny, too.
And I thought that was really, really cool. And so there's a lot about that that I do really enjoy. But I really do enjoy the special effects for this. Like, they really went all out. They took that, they took that $11 million and ran with it.
It's an $11 million 80s movie to me. Like, the thing is, I think because of the tone... The special effects being, like, kind of rough here and there, but also, like, clearly Ray Harryhausen-inspired.
Yeah.
Like, it works together. It's a good... It actually prevents the movie, I think, from aging. It kind of sets it where it is.
Interesting.
And you understand the tone. And if you have any kind of, like, filmic background, you kind of get what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, it's a good filmmaker's kind of movie.
Right.
And Raimi clearly was, like... They gave him better equipment on this one, for sure. Like, the cinematography on it, it's, like, the tone. Even him, like, when they throw the random guy into the pit and all that blood comes out.
And, like, that was so funny.
That was so well done, though. Like, it looked good. Like, even when it's kind of, like, exaggerated and kind of out there. Like, the movie looks great. It's Raimi and Bruce Campbell both kind of in their prime through Hollywood. They know what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see it on screen, which I think is pretty cool.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. Plus, also, I think, like, if you're going to have, like, an army of skeletons, like, the stop motion animation is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
It is, like, there's just something glorious about, like, you know, a stop motion, like, skeleton sword fight.
Right. And then, like, them, like, rushing the gate, you don't see their feet, but they're just, like, clearly as practical as hell running. They're like, ah!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And, you know, it's funny, too, like, the special effects, as they were talking about, like, these were, like, blood, sweat, and tears special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the people who did the skeletons, what they would do is they'd have people dressed up as deadites and stuff, but they would dig trenches along the route they would run for the scenes and have the puppeteers 6 feet deep underground holding puppets on top and just, like, hundreds of them as they run by. So, like, this is Ray Harryhausen special effects with a budget.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see that a lot. That's why Evil Dead, the Army of Darkness, it really does feel like its own film.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot like it.
Like, I do really feel like you could show someone this movie without them having seen the other Evil Dead movies, although I think you'd be doing them a disservice if you did that, and they'd, you know, they wouldn't be totally lost.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, this was the first Evil Dead movie that I'd ever seen.
Really?
I saw it in high school. Yeah, I was, I had a teacher in TV production in high school, and he was negligent. He would let us watch whatever we wanted, and most of it was, like, trauma movies and shit like that, because one of my classmates, he would just bring in stuff like that because he was, like, tuned into that, you know, that genre at that time.
Huh.
And we had, like, the fifth period class, so the class was, like, 2 hours, so we could sit and watch a whole movie. And one day he brought in Army of Darkness, and we watched it, and I was like, this is fucking awesome. I love this.
Okay, so...
Yeah, that was my introduction to the trilogy.
Interesting. So question for you, then. Did that impact, like, kind of how you viewed the other one? Like, were you expecting Army of Darkness-level, like, shenanigans in the first two?
Yeah, I kind of was. I enjoyed the first Evil Dead, but I do prefer the second one to the first. And if I'm going to do, like, a watch-through, this might be controversial, but I'll just skip the first one. I'll just watch 2 and Army of Darkness. Yeah.
I'm completely different.
Yeah, because I love the tone. I mean, I love the first one, too, but, like, I see that one as kind of a standalone, you know?
That makes sense.
That's its own thing, but, like, 2 and Army of Darkness, they go together.
They do.
You know?
They do a little together a little more,
and,
for sure.
And it doesn't really work from, like, Army of Darkness to Evil Dead 2.
Gotcha.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you watch them together, and I think the first time I saw, like, Evil Dead 2, I was like, am I just watching a recut of the first one? You know? Because I didn't know anything about it, so
I had that problem, too.
Yeah.
when I started watching the second one, when we covered it last year on the podcast. I think I actually mentioned it on the episode.
You did, yeah.
I was just like, I spent like the first 15 minutes being complete and utter confusion. I was like, okay, wait.
It's like, wait, did I just pull up the first one again?
Yeah, What's going on? I'm playing the first one again on accident. Like, I had to pause it and make sure I didn't buy the first one, because I usually just like rent them on my DVD. So I was just like, what have I done? Nope. That is not what happened.
But I do like that take, though, because you're right. The first one really does kind of stand on its own, because it has a way different tone than Evil Dead 2 and then Army of Darkness, obviously. I like watching it, but it is sort of like almost like a historical piece relative to the next two movies in the
series. Totally.
Like, yeah. And then Army of Darkness.
Yeah, I see it almost. I see it almost as like a proof of concept.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go. That's a good way of putting it. I like that. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Even though it was funny because the original film already had a proof of concept, which is why it was turned into Evil Dead. Raimi. Anyways, so why do you think audiences and critics were less than enthusiastic about the film during its time? And then what has changed to make it actually become a fan favorite? Because when it released, obviously, as we talked about, people were on the fence at the most.
Right. Good question.
I don't know, because there's something wrong with the audiences for not loving it. Not absolutely loving it. What the hell, guys?
I think what they could have done was call it the fucking Medieval Dead.
That's true.
They could have let... That would have been perfect.
I know. That would
Yeah, that really would have... I feel like that would have sold it, like, because then everyone who really wanted to see it would have known to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, I also think, though, too, this technically, to me, it's kind of a fanboy movie in a time where fanboys did not have the leverage they have now. Like, you couldn't really get on the internet and be like, did you guys hear about the behind the scenes and blah, blah, blah? Oh, my God, that trailer. Couldn't do that. You know, the hype machine, I think, for a trilogy of this particular type of film, like this specific and audience base, it needs the hype machine. Like, it really does.
Yeah.
I think this, I think this was a little bit, like, more niche even within the people who are already in the niche Evil Dead fandom.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that's very true too, because like, you know, you got your gore hounds and stuff, and this is like, you know, like Evil Dead itself, it's got like its own fan base, but this is like, this cuts it down like even more,
right?
You know, because like the people are gonna appreciate the slapstick and how silly it is, and the fact that they kind of shirked some of the horror for more of like the, you know, the hero's tale plus comedy, you know?
True.
Yeah. Well, this is one of like really truly one of my all-time favorite scary movies.
Is it a scary movie?
Is it? Well, like, you know, if you
in
want...
In the genre.
Like, this is one of my all-time... Is it a horror movie? I mean, yes. Technically, it's in the trilogy. So, yes. But, like, it's not. Like, it's so fun. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's more of, like, obviously an action adventure than anything else. But, it's so much fun.
I think it being that different, though, might actually be why it kind of, like, fans kind of came around to it afterwards. Because the Age of Fandom did end up happening, you know? Like,
totally.
Fanboys ended up being able to take over and really hype things and do whatever it is. And, like, really, nothing makes a fanboy just cream themselves so much more than having a very exclusive take on something that not many people have. And if you back in the day were just like, Army of Darkness is actually the best one, I think for a while you can get away with that being like, oh, Mr. Unique over here.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a mysterious guy.
You like the one that's not even scary. Blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, once all that settles, I feel like then, you know, everybody's takes get a lot more respectable from there on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I think ultimately that with this kind of movie, it was a slow burn. Because, you know, the original fans of the first two had to have, like...
They were probably all fucking grown up and having kids and shit, too.
Well, or even, like, if they were seeing it, they had to have been, like, oh, this is, like, completely different. Like I said, like, it's like a niche within a niche.
Yeah.
Like, people who like... The Venn diagram must be very interesting for people who are really big Evil Dead fans, but also, like, super big Army of Darkness fans.
Yeah. And I think another thing that helped make it more successful after the fact, too, is just nostalgia. Because it is a very early 90s, late 80s, like, movie.
Yes.
It's got all of that, you know? It's got the weird, like, charming misogyny, you know, of, like, Ash Campbell.
That's just pillow talk, baby.
Yeah. Like, the thing where it's like, damn, if this dude wasn't so fucking charming, like, this would be questionable.
Yeah, if he wasn't charming and, like, outrageously handsome, because it's 1992's Bruce Campbell, everyone would have been like, ugh.
Yeah.
You're kind of
sick. And it's a mix of that, the practical effects and the, you know, the stop motion. It's just got that, it just radiates that, like, early 90s, like, epic action, like, fun, you know? And because I know, like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is like all those movies back then, you know?
It does feel like it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can watch, like, this and then Hook and, like, all kinds of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that helped it a little bit down the line from, you know, when it started hitting, like, DVDs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. And again, if you were in Army of Darkness Spain before they were, like, Army of Darkness Spain, you had the in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having that little status there going into it, really, because these Evil Dead movies, they are a hardcore, I feel like, fan favorite type of film, like with whatever genre they fall in. So yeah, Army of Darkness, I feel like, even though it had everything going against it early on when it released, it had everything going for it when
for
it came
time.
Legacy time.
It's a long con.
Absolutely. Absolutely long con on this one, for sure. So let's say you get transported back into the 1300s, though. How do you handle it, huh, Andrew? We'll go with you first on this one.
Oh, boy. I think I would just, like, immediately start, like, naming off all the inventions that I know haven't been created yet. And then I'd just, like, coast forever off of the royalties or whatever you have back then.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
What's your name, sir?
I would say Newton. I'd say invest in Bitcoin, but that's a little bit too far back.
You never live to see it.
Bitcoin, you end up being a slave in the mines.
Yes, yeah, literal Bitcoin.
That's funny. All right, Alex.
Oh gosh. Like, is it literally, like, in this universe? Like, is there a Necronomicon that can bring me back?
Oh, maybe. I didn't even think about that. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, well, if that's the case, I'm definitely learning the three words.
Oh, no.
I'm learning the three words. I am learning how to use their weapons, and figuring out how to get the hell out of there, because I'm not going to die of cholera.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, or some poop disease.
Exactly.
You know, some disease that you get from just not having sewers.
Exactly. Like, I'm not going to get bitten by a rat and die of the back of the Black Plague. Like,
yes.
I'm just not going to, no fucking thank you. Send me back. Like, I like having running water.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, I want to change my answer since, like, the Necronomicon exists in this universe. I'm gonna learn the three words. I'm going to get the Necronomicon, and I'm going to go back to, like, 2006, and then I'm going to invest in Bitcoin.
So you're going to do the Back to the Future play.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because that went so well for Back to the Future.
Watch, they all see you go back to the future, right? And then another version of you comes out, and they're like, we just sent you back. And he's like, I know I'm back. I'm back from the future.
I
fucked up.
No, I'm chilling here. I gotta go tell myself all the things I need to do to not fuck my life up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get rich, and we're gonna be good.
Do you guys still have some potion left? We have a little bit of potion left. Just give me, like, three drops. And then they go, oh, we just saw him going forward again. Holy shit. And then you see another version come back. He's like, okay, do you guys have any more of the potion left? Because it's actually worse.
Yeah, that's exactly what's gonna happen. It's an infinite loop. What about you, Anthony?
Oh my God, I think I'm gonna pull some Game of Thrones shit. I'm gonna be as Littlefinger as possible. I'm like, listen, you saw me pop from the sky. I am browner than you guys. I'm just gonna let you know. I'll do as much bullshit as I can.
Then he's gonna convince them you're a sun god.
Mm-hmm. No, then I'm getting as close to the book as possible. I'm like, peace. Saying the words, I'm out. And I'm fixing. I like my life now, so I'll just pop in. I'll be good. I'll be fine.
Yeah,
but no, I'm being sneaky. That's my...
You're going to be Littlefinger about it?
I'm going to be as sneaky about it as I can. That's my thing.
Of course you would. Very good.
I think we already talked about our favorites here, so we can probably skip that. But just to reaffirm, Army of Darkness, Andrew Army of Darkness, and me, of course, Evil Dead 2. But either way.
Yes. That is our favorite of the original Evil Dead films, yes.
Oh, But this is a question I actually wanted to hear from you guys. What other scenarios would you like to see Ash in another Deadite scenario here?
Ooh.
In the Evil Dead universe. I got mine.
President Deadite.
Oh, that's a good one.
President.
Yes.
Oh, great. So now he has to kill the president.
And everybody's just
hell
buying
yeah.
it. They're just like, well, I'm like, yeah, I like his position. He's like, that guy is not alive.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. Yeah, it's like the opposite of Olympus Has Fallen.
He's like, the Deadite is like trolling. He's like actually going through where Kennedy, like in Dallas in the motorcade. And Ash is trying to be like, the only place you can reasonably hit him is the grassy knoll. Shit.
God damn it.
President Deadite, I love that.
I don't know. Do you have your answer, Anthony?
Oh, Ash versus the Old West.
Ah,
I want some
cowboy fucking Deadites, dude.
I want. Ooh, that's gonna be the shit.
Yeah, I actually was when you mentioned it earlier in the episode. I'm actually quite interested in post-apocalyptic something something.
That'd be cool too.
Like, I want to see a world where the Deadites fuck everything up,
mm-hmm.
and Ash has to save the past.
I just want
to.
Yeah,
see
and it's like Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I like that too.
But like Ash in a fucking duster with a cowboy hat on and a chainsaw hand.
Yeah, they're gonna be real fucking confused.
With the Sheriff Deadites.
Oh, man.
Like, Ash versus the Old West,
yeah.
I'm telling you, that'd be great.
Yeah, and the fucking what is that, like High Noon Duel?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Gunslinger Ash, man, yeah, alright, I'm on board with that too.
That would be really cool.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
You also just like Westerns.
I do like Westerns. But also give me the supporting cast from Ash vs. the Evil Dead. I want Pablo there with him because I want to see a bunch of Mexican jokes.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I would also like to see one like where it's like what was that Frank Miller Batman where Batman's like old as shit.
Oh.
He's all fucked up.
Yes.
You know? I mean, that's kind of what Ash vs. Evil Dead was, but I want to see, like, Ash in, like, a cyberpunk future where, like, he's just, like, completely decrepit.
Ooh,
you know?
So it's like
Ash.
Old Mad Logan.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, I would dig that, too. Hell yes.
Interesting. All right. I think those are all wonderful. I think we've covered, like, the range of unless it's, like, prehistoric. Ash versus the dinosaurs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And Sam Raimi, if you use any of that, you owe me points on the back end.
Ash on
Just
Island Nubar, dude.
What?
Ash on Island Nubar.
Oh, no. Welcome to Jurassic Park. Well, it is a Universal movie, so technically.
There you go. There you go. Deadite dinosaurs. Oh,
that's bad. That's a horrible. That would not survive the pitch meeting.
No. Give me Sam Neill. Oh, anyway, so
you
what you guys is killed?
You crazy son of a bitch! You did it.
Oh yeah. kill the film, guys. Kill the film. Kill of the film.
Ooh, there's two.
Okay.
For me. I gotta go with either like when he's explaining things, or he's having things explained to him by the medieval guys, and, like, the old lady's, like, over in the corner, and she's like, we'll kill you, you'll never get the Necronomicon! And he, like, battles her, but then, like, she gets back up, and he just shoots over his shoulder
yes.
with the shotgun.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, like, that's... I think that's a tie with also, when he just kills, like, Badass, where he's like, I'm Badass, and you're good Ash. And he just fucking shoves the gun right in his face and blows his face off. He's like, good guy, bad guy, I'm the guy with the gun.
Oh, yeah.
Such a good one. For me, it's old lady who's just like, and then, because that whole sequence is just so funny, because Ash at this point is so familiar with the Deadites that,
mm-hmm.
that like she's like obviously faking being dead or whatever.
Yeah, everybody's kind of
yeah,
like
he's
no.
like unfazed.
And he grabs his arm, the random dude's arm, and she's like, "It's a trap. Get an axe."
Yes.
And then she's just like, and then she goes all feral, and it's just like, "Rah!" And yeah, that over the shoulder shotgun shot, I was just like, "Oh, you're such a badass." I love that one. That one's my kill.
Yeah, he's just so cool with it.
Yeah. Oh. He has to be so cool with it. He's groovy.
I already mentioned it, but mine is like totally when that guy gets pushed in the goddamn pit.
Oh,
just that flood of blood.
They're like,
there's something about
the geyser.
Pause, and everyone else just being like, what is that fucking bitter? And just
geyser.
Rolls out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh my gosh. So, now that we've made it to the end, guys, What would you rate this film out of 5 boomsticks?
5.
5? Andrew?
I'm going 5.
Ooh.
5 boomsticks out of 5 boomsticks. And one human thumb up in the air and one biomechanical chainmail thumb.
Yes.
Bam. I'm going to give it 4.5. Just 4.5. It's a little too slapsticky sometimes for me, but overall, it is a goddamn masterpiece.
It's such a delight. I have to give it 5 because it's truly one of my favorite movies.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I understand. I'm not disputing that one. I can understand that completely. This is a goddamn good movie.
So that is wonderful. Okay, I think that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. That was Army of Darkness from 1992, directed, of course, by Mr. Sam Raimi.
Next week, though.
Next week. You guys know what next week is.
It's our Christmas special.
It's our Christmas special. We do it every year.
Fun.
What is it, Alex?
It is Cronenberg Christmas.
Cronenberg Christmas.
Oh. So, next week, we're covering a Cronenberg film. That's all you get to know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be disgusting.
Yeah.
Ooh, are you going to give him a hint?
A hint?
Give us a hint, Alex.
The one that everyone is expecting us to cover.
Yeah. I'm going to have a hard time looking at this screen. Okay.
that we haven't covered yet. So that is that. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. It's been so fun. It's been a delight. Thank you so much.
Oh, I have fun coming on with you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like your podcast a lot. So, yes, thank you for having me on.
If I could
take a moment to plug, obviously, listen to my audio drama, Crypta. If you like cryptids and horror stuff, you'll probably enjoy it.
Subscribe,
and
people.
It's short, so if you don't like it, you won't have to suffer for very long.
They're short episodes, but they're bingeable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And also, I'm doing this thing right now. It's called Frequency 101, and basically the concept of that is it's like 5-minute pilots or shorter of like audio shows, and they try to go for like 10 submissions an episode, and basically the audience listens and they vote on it, and they vote out 5 shows, and they vote 5 shows to stay. And it's pretty fun because, it's a fun thing for creatives. You get to produce a show, and then if you get voted on, you have to fucking absolutely scramble to make another episode for the next month's thing if you continue voting or if you get voted in. So definitely go listen to that. It's a lot of fun. It's the audio version of Channel 101, which some of you may have heard of, which is like Dan Harmon did it. A bunch of shows on Adult Swim came from there because their pilots were on there. Rick and Morty came from it. So it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Definitely check that out.
Where can we find that?
If you just search Frequency 101 in whatever podcast app you got.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, I'll have to check that out. That sounds really cool.
That's badass.
Yeah.
I dig that. Hell yeah.
Okay, awesome. And then
And if you're a creative, fucking make a pilot, man. they need submissions right now because they're just starting out.
I was going to say, Anthony and I will just like write our own separate ones and we'll just combat each other.
If you write something right now, it's like there's a good chance it'll get through because they need submissions bad right now. So
okay, cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. We'll have to check that out.
I'm writing that in my notepad right now. Frequency 101. Yeah.
And while he's doing that, is there anything else you would like to promote? Where can people find you on social media other than Crypta?
I'm on Instagram. I am at Fritz Bonelord. I almost said my old handle. I don't even fucking remember. On Twitter, I'm AC Parker 320, and that's the 2 places you can find me.
Wonderful. Yeah. And then
you can find me on Facebook too, but I mean,
it's Facebook.
Yeah, it's Facebook. Yeah.
Don't find me on Facebook. I'm embarrassed by half those posts.
Well, also, you never post on Facebook.
No. But there was a time. Every time it begins in the memories, I'm always looking back, and I'm like, damn, 2011 Anthony. Nobody needed to hear that you like breakfast.
Yeah, I rarely post there now, because it's like, who gives a shit?
Ooh, right. I agree.
Yeah, and I'll see Anthony in amongst our mutual Facebook groups, but that's, separate.
Yeah, that's its own thing. I really just, yeah, like, my Facebook wall is just fucking promotion at this point.
Yeah, right? So, if you like what you heard, please, please, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It helps so much, and, you know, the messages we get from you guys is, like, it's awesome, so mm-hmm. Thank you. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We are on Twitter and Instagram on Twitter and Facebook at Horror People Pod. And then we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And then if you would like to find Anthony, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. Mm-hmm. And then you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop.
Yeah.
And I think that's it for this week. Thank you so much again for joining us, Anthony. And check out, you're Anthony, you're Andrew.
I join every week, guys.
It's pretty close.
Close.
She wasn't even looking at me. She was looking at the computer.
All A names. I have 3 brain cells. I mentioned I got hit by a shark last week.
Okay. You keep using that excuse.
I will build it as long as I can. No, thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. Always a pleasure. Please check him out and you know, listen to all of the projects he's working on. And, until next week, don't go down any time wormholes into the medieval times.
Yeah, take care of your boomstick.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. too. That's okay.
Yeah, you gotta keep it oiled. Clean it.
Yep, oiled. Peace.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye.